My own buntag sa tanan. Good morning, everyone. How many of you are happy to be in church? All right. I would rather be here than the best hospital here in Bremerton. And I'm glad to be here. Just to give an update before we get into the message. We're thankful for everything that your church has done to encourage our family and to help us share the gospel in the Philippines. And we were here last time during the missions conference, and we were just actually introducing the Philippine Dream Center. And this was the first church that we had actually talked about that at. And right then, we had zero houses for the people in the cemetery, and we were just formulating, getting brochures printed. And I can tell you, that was the end of January, between then and now, God has raised up the funds for over 27 houses. Amen. All right?
Praise God.
Well, if you're not familiar with the project, basically we're building a village for the people that sleep inside the cemetery. All right? They break open above ground tombs and they pull the bones out and they sleep inside. So we're building a gospel village. It'll have a church in the middle, an educational center. And so God's already supplying 27 houses. Last week, he supplied 900 shoes. Okay? So we're going to be filling a container and be shipping out from Tacoma in August. Okay? So, and then God has provided food to be sent over there to feed the people while we're planting the gardens, while we're buying the livestock. God brought an architect in that's donating his services for free. Okay? God brought someone who is getting his master's degree in agricultural studies. He's going to donate his time. Okay? And then God brought someone who is a general contractor. So when God wants something done,
yes.
He creates a masterpiece. Okay? And so I'm just there, and he's showing me how to put the puzzles together, and, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together, and I'm watching him work. So we want to say thank you very much. Victoria, Dixie Mae, Annabelle, and Landon, we want to say thank you that you allowed us to be here this weekend. And, you know, if I were to ask everyone this morning to raise their hands, you don't have to do it, but if I were to ask for a show of hands of how many people here this morning have a pressing need or something that there is no way they can get through that situation by themselves, we would have an entire congregation full of raised hands. We all have needs. If we don't have a need personally, then we know somebody that has a need. Whether it be a financial need, whether it be something going on medically, whether it be something that maybe it's a challenge with our family, maybe right now you're searching for a job and you're praying, and as a father you're wondering, how am I going to provide for my children? Maybe it's something that unexpectedly came up in your life and you're wondering, you're scrambling, you're trying to figure out how to put the pieces together to figure out how am I going to work through this. Can I tell you that the answer to every single one of our needs is Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I can't tell you the answer of why things happen in our lives, but I can tell you that I know someone who can comfort you. And I can tell you where to go get instructions to work through that challenge that you have. That is the Word of God. So I pray that you came this morning to hear from the Word of God. And the Lord has put a message, maybe just a message of encouragement on my heart. So if you're here this morning and you have a need, hey, Michael Wanzer, I can't fix everything, okay? But what I can tell you, I can point you, all right, to one who knows everything about you.
Yes.
Who knows every hair on your head, who knows everything that has happened since even before you were born, and that is the Lord. And he's given a scripture to comfort us and to encourage us. So if you have your Bible this morning, if you could please turn to Psalm 142. The Psalm 142, and once you found your place in Psalm 142, if you could please stand for the reading of God's Word. Before we read Psalm 142, it's a It's a Maskil of David. It's a prayer when he was in a cave. Now, how many of you have felt like you wanted to crawl in a cave before? Raise your hand, all right? Maybe you said something to your spouse, all right? And you said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, as a preacher, sometimes we say, you know, things get jumbled up. We try to be careful about our words. But sometimes we feel, oh, man, I wish I could just go hide in a cave, all right? Then there's other times when the challenge in our life that God has allowed is so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming that, sometimes that we want to get in a cave and we want to be alone. We want to spend time with God. And then there's other times like this passage when we are really backed in. We are forced into a cave. We are forced into a place where we absolutely have to spend that time with the Lord because there is no way to work through that situation. And this is where David is at. As we look at the scripture this morning, this was David who slew Goliath. This was David who was the anointed king. This was David, all right, who could send armies. He could send people wherever he wanted. This was the one who had the respect of everyone in that nation. And at this time, he's reduced to hiding in a cave. He's fearful for his life because a jealous king wants to kill him. Doesn't just want to push him away, wants to take his life because he's jealous. And David teaches us as through the inspiration of the Lord that when things are overwhelming in our life, when we can't handle it, that we must cry out to the Lord. That's the message. We must cry out to the Lord. And verse 1, the Bible is my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. God is teaching us through this psalm that, in those times where we're overwhelmed, we must cry out to the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, I have things that are pressing, that are challenging in my life. And Lord, I have things that I so desperately want you to do, and I prayed for, I've asked you to do, and God, if I could do it myself, I would, but there's no way that I can. And so, God, this morning, Lord, as we've already sung praises, we've lifted up our hearts and our voices to you. Lord, right now, we ask you, Lord, just to meet with us. We ask you that you would give me clarity of thought. And, Lord, as I speak, it would be words coming from the Holy Spirit. God, may we be an encouragement to people that are hurting this morning. And Lord, there may be some people here that came, and Lord, this is all new to them. Lord, they've tried every other outlet, and Lord, someone invited them to church. Help them to know that there's a God in heaven who loves them. Lord loves them so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for their sins, and there is hope in Christ this morning. So Father, we look to you. We look to you for help, and we're expecting you to meet with us. In Christ's most precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the longer that I'm able to travel around the world and watch my children grow and see different cultures, I am absolutely amazed at the simple faith that my children have. You know, we live in a time where, you know, everything is in high definition. We have ultra-fast internet speed. The world is at our fingertips through our iPhones, through our iPads. And we have all the tools. We have so many freed materials. We have answers. We can Google answers. We can get things everywhere. But sometimes, with all of our technology, with all the things that we have, we lose the simplicity of the faith that God expects from us. When things come up in our life, when something that is completely out of the ordinary, do you know what, you know, we normally do sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily run first to the Lord. We run and we say, well, let me draw on my experience. I might have some wisdom through my life that could apply to this situation. Or it's a medical issue and hey, maybe it's too far to go to the hospital, so we'll call on one of our relatives that is a nurse. We'll call on someone working at a hospital, and we've got information everywhere. But I love, as I watch my children, as I watch Dixie Mae, when something comes up, you know, if we're late for somewhere or if we're stuck in traffic, the first thing that Mike Wanzer does, I get my iPhone out and I'm rerouting and checking all those things. And Dixie Mae says, "Hey, Daddy, did you pray?" You know, it's so simple that, you know, I have a wealth of experience. I just overlooked it, right? You know, and you know, I say, "Let's pray," and instantly when we pray, hey, God comforts us. Okay. And he starts to give us wisdom that we could never have if we had not first just gone to the Lord. And as we examine the life of David, hey, David was a man. He had amazing victories in his life. I mean, how many of us could say that with a sling and a stone, God helped us defeat Goliath? How many of us could say that our name was famous throughout an entire nation? How many of us could say that God had anointed us as the king over an entire nation? So he had great influence, he had great power, but also he had times where in this passage, he's hiding out. He's fearful for his life. He's wondering what's going to happen to him. He's wondering, is he going to be killed? And he's all alone. And in our lives, we have times like that where we could be surrounded by people. We could be surrounded by, people that love us. We could have all the information at our fingertips. But yet, sometimes we feel all alone. How many of you can testify that there's been times when you felt all alone? There's been times where you've wondered, how is God going to work through this situation? And so the message this morning, it's very simple, because I've been learning from my children that God expects a very simple faith from us. That's, we must cry out to the Lord. We must cry out to the Lord. Cry out during the times where we're overwhelmed. Cry out when it seems like we can fix the problem by ourselves. Cry out when we're all alone, when we've done something that we're ashamed of. Cry out in praise. When something very exciting happens, we must cry out in praise to God and thank Him for it. Yes. Thank Him for everything that He's done. And so as we look at crying out to the Lord, and I'll share a couple personal experiences, and we'll share from the Word of God. But let's look first in this scripture. In verse 1, let's examine again. The Bible says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." David says, "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble." What did he do? He cried out for help. They say that simple. It took 5 years of Bible college to find out that this is how simple it is, and it works. Okay? All right? It took me going to the Philippines and thinking I knew everything and finding out that I don't know everything, that we just instantly cry out to him. So we must cry out for help. Now that's something that's very challenging for us to do. You say, "Oh, really?" Yes, my brother, he's right now living in Kalispell, Montana. My brother could travel the United States. He could teach a seminar on the right thing to do. But he doesn't always do it. Why? I mean, it's so simple. God says, something comes up in your life, cry out to me. But we don't do it. Why? Well, I'm not sure. Sometimes it's very humbling. Sometimes it sounds too easy because we have so many options in our life. The easiest thing seems like, oh, that couldn't work. I have to find the newest, latest thing. Well, it's simple. It works. God gives us the pattern. In fact, this psalm, it's actually a psalm that's meant for teaching. David is showing, hey, I was overwhelmed and I cried out to the Lord and he comforted me. And because he comforted me, he can comfort you also.
Amen.
And I can tell you this morning that God has comforted Michael Wanzer. Okay. There's been times in my life that I felt just like David. I didn't know what was going to happen the next instant. Dixie May, Dixie May, stand up, say hello. Okay. All right. Dixie May, keep standing. I remember when Dixie May was born, she was a pound and a half. How many of y'all have had preemies before? Okay. She was a pound and a half, and we didn't know if she was going to live. In fact, the doctors asked us if we could perform a test that would, pass her, you know, and really it was a test that would abort her, and they said she'll be born with Down syndrome. She'll have all kinds of problems with her kidneys, and you don't want to deal with that. And with tears going down my face, I said, I want to deal with it. I want to deal with everything.
Amen.
You know, her life is precious.
Amen.
And I said, no, we're not going that route. Whatever it takes, whatever amount of money it takes, I want to deal with it.
Yes.
Because she is a beautiful creation of God.
Amen.
And we instantly cried out to God for help. We prayed in front of the doctors. We were in Jacksonville, Florida. And we prayed, and they're looking around and said, what are you doing? You have a decision to make. I said, we're praising God for the life he's given us, and we're praying for him to work a miracle in her life. And I remember the day that she was born, Dixie May came out. She was a pound and a half. Her eyes were this big, all right, you know, and she was looking around. And guess what? She was so excited to be alive, she was fighting with the oxygen tube. They said, Dixie May, she's going to have all these problems. There wasn't a single thing wrong with her. Besides the fact that she was small and she just needed to eat a little bit of food and she needed to keep her temperature up and she could breathe normally, everything was fine.
Amen.
And I look back and I remember there were two doctors and there was a nurse, and it was at Shands Hospital in Jacksonville, Florida, and that it was a nursing student and she was a Christian. And when we told the doctors, we said, no, whatever it takes. No matter what, how much money, how much effort it takes, how much it changes our life and just turns it upside down, we want her. We're choosing the life that God has given. Well, and I remember tears streaming down her face when we walked out. She says, thank you. She says, thank you so much. Thank you so much. She says, I am a Christian. She goes, and she goes, that encouraged me.
Amen.
Well, how many of you are thankful that we made that decision?
Yes.
Dixie May is here. Huh? Amen. Okay, you can be seated, Dixie May. But I can tell you that when she was born, and she was born a pound and a half, it was not an easy time in our life. Just as it wasn't easy for David to be humiliated to hiding in the cave, David was hiding out. He was fearful that someone was going to kill him. Do you know how exhausting it must be for David to be on the run? Do you know how exhausting it must have been? Do you know how challenging it turned everything upside down? It changed everything about him. Do you know that when Dixie May was born, we cherished her, we loved her? Do you know how exhausting it was? That's a good thing, okay? I was in Bible college. I was working. I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 4. Then I would go to class. I'd be done at class at 12. I'd go to the hospital from 1 to 3. I'd work from 3 to 11. We'd go to the hospital again from 11:30 to 2 or 1 or 2 in the morning. We might sleep 2 hours. And this was, she was in there for a month. She came home when she was 3 pounds. I guarantee you, it was exhausting. It was worth every second of it. But there was times where I was exhausted, and I was driving, and I didn't know where I was going. The Holy Spirit was my GPS, was, you know, all right? And he was guiding. I had bumper angels, okay? All right? All right? He was helping me, all right? We're going through. And you know, if I hadn't have been such close fellowship with God and had a church and people that loved me and encouraged me, I would have quit. I wouldn't have quit on Dixie May, all right? I might have had to said, well, I'll just finish college later or I'll slack off my work. But I can tell you that through that month that God helped me through that. Why? Yes. Not because I'm special. Not because I possess any great, magnificent ability to hold down a job and a hospital and a college courses and all this. It's because I cried out to God for help. I mean, He humbled me. He showed me that He is everything. And can I tell you, if He can do that for Mike Wanzer, He can do that for every single one of us. Now the struggle in your life this morning, it might not be like David where somewhat you're fearful for your life. It might be that you have a loved one that's very sick and you're exhausted and you need help from God. Go to Him. Yes. Cry out to Him. It might be something you're struggling. You might be struggling with a particular sin this morning and you don't feel like that you can conquer that. You're right, you can't, but God can.
Amen.
David cried out to help, and he's teaching us, we got to cry out. That's, you know, it's the first step to God working in our lives, our hearts. Just cry out to Him. How did he do it? Well, he cried vocally. He cried with his voice. I love to hear the sound of my children pray. You know, sometimes when we're driving in the car, I ask to have silent prayer, you know, because it's very busy. I said, Dixie May, will you lead in silent prayer right now for a few minutes, you know, sometimes. But I love to hear as they mature, as they grow in the Lord, I love to hear their voice. I love to hear them cry out. I love to hear when they're hurting and they need help. I love to hear them cry out. God loves to hear us cry out to Him. That's why when we cry out, do we know we don't just write it on a piece of paper? We don't type an email to God. We cry out vocally. Okay? It's healing. It's healing for us to cry out. Landon, hey, it's starting to get warmer. And I remember we were in Tennessee about a month or two ago. First time in his life, Landon got a tick. You remember the first time your child got, it's a big memory, all right? He was scared to death. He was horrified. His eyes were this big. It's not a big deal to me, you know, but he had this tick. And I love it because he taught me so much about God, because he came over and he was fearful and he was trembling and he just wanted to curl up in his daddy's arms. And he says, Daddy, Daddy, just take care of it. Please, 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 just take it away from me. Daddy, take it away. Will you help me? Will you help me? Please, will you help me? And that's what God is calling us to do, vocally. Okay? As a father, as a parent, our children need to see us and hear us crying out to the Lord. So we must cry out vocally. And when we, it shows in the verse 2, when we're crying out for help, I've poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In a way wherein I have walked, they privily laid a snare for me. So when we cry out for help, we cry out vocally, okay? And then, what we do? We cry out with honesty. With honesty. So a lot of times, when we are praying, we want to tell all the things to God that we think we want Him to hear, and we hide those dark, deep secrets that are inside. And He knows all about them. I mean, he knows every single thing in our life. He knows every word that we speak. He knows every thought that comes into our mind. And for some reason, we think that as we cry out to Him, we're going to cry out and we're going to talk to God about everything. All the things that we think will impress Him, okay? And we talk to Him about all the things that maybe other people will want to hear us crying out. But we keep those deep, dark things in our lives because we think it'll just go away somehow. Can I tell you, it's not going to go away. David knew that God knew everything about him, so he said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. He says, God, you know where I'm going. You know what's going on in my life. And then he got honest, and he says, well, the way I've walked, they're privily laid a snare for me. He said, God, they're setting traps for me everywhere. He says, Saul is coming after me. And as I go from cave to cave and I go from place to place to try to get away from this thing that is attacking me, God, it never goes away. And he gets honest and he says, I'm releasing it to you. And that's what God wants us to do. He loves us as a loving father. Just as Landon came up and he was horrified with this tick and he was wondering what's going to go on. Hey, as I pulled it off of him, he put his arms around me. He held me and says, Daddy, I love you. And then he went to his mama and says, I love you. And then he went to his papa and says, I love you. And we can have that same experience with God if we would just simply do what he tells us to do.
Amen.
Cry out to him for help. Cry out vocally. Cry out with honesty. And I tell you this morning, if you have grown up and honesty hasn't been a character trait that's been taught in your family, and I tell you, it can life can change with you. I mean, life can change with me. If honesty is not a character trait in your family, let it start today.
Yes.
Let it start today. And God will help you through that. So God is telling us to cry out for help. Number two, God is telling us to cry out with the cry of humility. God can never work amazing miracles, and God can never comfort us. God cannot do the things that he wants unless we humble ourselves before him. So when we cry out for help, we also cry out with humility. The Bible says here in verse 4, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. You know, it's signifying that, hey, the person that is on your right hand, all right, is supposed to be the one that is your protector. You know, in the court of law, the one that defends you sits on your right hand. So he's saying, hey, that person, David was saying, that person who's supposed to be my defense is not there. If you read through the passage historically and in 1 Samuel, and you'll see that as David's crying out, there are people that are around him. There are people that were gathered. There are mighty men that were gathered. But again, David feels all alone. He feels that even with these people around him, that he can't conquer the situation. Even with the people around, the people that could do something, even with all those who he could send out, he says, I still feel alone, God. And I'm admitting humbly that I need you to help me during this situation. Hey, he cried out with humility. If you look at the scripture if you read several passages in 1 Samuel, there were times where God allowed David actually to meet Saul, and David could have taken care of this situation by himself. But guess what David did? He said, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. I mean, that's humility. Can you imagine having the person who's trying to kill you at your feet, and you could kill him right then, and God is telling you, don't do it. David had such character, had such belief that God would take care of a situation. He says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to stretch forth my hand against God's anointed. So he cried out with humility. God is asking you and I to be humble before him. Hey, it's through humility that I share some of my hurts, some of my pains with my children. I'm not a perfect man, all right? I shared with you during the missions conference that we have struggles. In the Philippines, there's days where I tell you we can preach to thousands, we can give out Bibles to people that have never had them. And then there's days where it's very, very, very hard. And I don't always love every second of it, but those are the times when I just cry out to God. And I cry out with humility and say, God, give me an unnatural love for the people that are surrounding me right now that I don't feel love for. He says, give me an unnatural love. When mistakes happen, when challenges happen, help me to cry out with humility. And so that's what God is teaching us through the scripture here. It says, as David says, hey, I looked at my right hand, beheld, there's no man that would know me. So my defense is gone, my natural defense from the man that would normally take care of that for me is not there. He says, refuge failed me. Do you know what it's like to be traveling on the road for months or if even like a week and then get the feeling of the comfort of sleeping in your own bed? It's a refuge. Your house is a refuge, right? You know, you're at another place right now, But you know, as you, just when you step in there, you have instant peace. You have a feeling of calmness. David right now, he's not in his place where he's comfortable. He's hiding in the cave. His personal belongings are gone. He's not there in his regular place, and he says, "Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." But then guess what he does? He turns around, and in verse 5, he says, "Even though I have no refuge, even though no one I feel cares for me, even though there's no defendant for me," he says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord, because unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion of the land of the living." So I can tell you this morning that when we cry out for help and when we cry out with humility, there is no situation that God cannot get us through. Okay? There is nothing, there's no situation God doesn't know about, there's no pain, there's nothing in our lives that the Holy Spirit cannot comfort us with. And if you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ, you never asked Him to be your Heavenly Father, you never repented of your sins, placed your trust in Christ, then the rest of your life you're going to be going around trying to have that a need fulfilled in your life, and nothing is going to satisfy it. Nothing is going to satisfy your craving for that, for a home and for love until you meet Jesus Christ. Mike Wanzer tried it. I drove through Seattle yesterday, and in the Philippines, Seattle, okay? I drove through there, and I saw people sleeping on the streets. It reminded me of sleeping underneath the Burnside Bridge in Portland, Oregon. Growing up, not having any love, not having any hope. But I remember that day, September 26th of 1997, when Mike Wanzer humbled himself. Amen. I came to church with my green mohawk, my Marilyn Manson shirt, everything that I thought was big and bad about me. And guess what? I had to humble myself. And I had to cry out for help. I didn't want to cry for help. I could take care of myself before. All 120 pounds of me. And then I humbled myself. And guess, yeah, 120 pounds of me with my big chain, all right? And I came in and I just thought I was big, bad. I sat in the back with my skateboard. And God started speaking to my heart. Yes. He was telling me, "Hey, Mike Wanzer, you have sinned against me. You have broken my laws. God says you've tried to find peace in drugs and alcohol, in doing whatever you want, in destroying other people's lives and getting angry." And he said, and God called me to humble myself before Him that day. And I did. And I'm thankful that now He calls me His son. And now I can sing, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." Amen. And I can read Psalm 68 and be comforted that God says He is the Father of the fatherless. So I'm telling you, when we cry out with humility, He will hear our cry. He will hear our prayer. Whether we're crying out and we're asking Him to be our Savior for the first time, we're coming to God, or whether you've been in church for 50 years and you've forgotten how to cry out because you have all the answers, He's still asking us to cry with humility. Okay? Number 3, we must cry out. After we have cry out for help, after we cry with humility, God turns those cries into a beautiful song, a cry of praise. A cry of praise. And verse 5, the Bible says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion of the land of the living." Verse 6, "Attend unto my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." So he was still showing his humility. And verse 7, he says, "Bring my soul out of prison." Those are strong words. Prison is not a fun place to be. No one would desire to go to prison. And yet David is saying, "I feel like I'm in prison." He says, "Lord, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." Not so I can get back to just doing what I was doing and taking care of myself. He says, "Lord, bring my soul out of the deepest, darkest pit that I'm in." He says, "My soul is locked up." He says, it's almost like he's handcuffed, like he's chained. He said, you know, he's chained with the feeling of anguish, with the feeling of maybe bitterness of why God is allowing him to be chased. And he says, I feel like I'm in jail. I feel like I'm locked up. I feel like I'm in prison. I feel like I'm handcuffed, God. And he's crying out. He's being honest. He says, bring my soul way up out of prison. Why? That I may praise thy name. Yeah, so that I may praise thy name. So if God has been working on your heart this morning, as we've shared the message and we've talked about what God has been doing through the life of David, maybe you're at the point of crying out for help. You know, maybe you're at that point and you say, I can't go through this situation. You say, I've been laid off from my job and I don't know how I'm going to find a job. The first step is to cry out for help. Cry out for help. Number two, as we cry out for help, we must cry with humility. And then finally, God will take those cries and transform them to a cry of praise. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know everyone in here. But I know that God knows you. God knows every hair on your head. God knows every emotion that you're feeling. You realize, you know, that, you know, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our informant. Infirmities. But guess what? He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So God knows every emotion that you're feeling this morning. He knows the feeling of rejection. He knows the feeling of being falsely accused. He knows the feeling of exhaustion. He knows the feeling of not even having a home. He knows the feeling of traveling from place to place, going back and forth. He knows the feeling of, you know, Christ knows the feeling of having 1,000 people pulling at you and draining all the energies. And he knows the feeling of going, of the need to go up and to pray and to be with his Father. And that's what he's calling us to do. Cry out to him. So when we turn to a cry of praise, this is what will happen. In verse 7 is David says, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And so at the beginning of the psalm, David is all alone. He is hiding in a cave. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And as he pours out his heart to God, as he cries for help, he cries with humility, God turns that cry to a cry of praise. And that's God's greatest desire this morning for every one of us, is to turn our cry of desperation, our cry of helplessness, our cry of being rejected, our cry of feeling like a failure, our cry of feeling of not knowing what's going on in the future. He wants to turn that to just a cry of praise. I remember Annabelle, we had just gotten back to the United States. And we were praying and we were traveling through different places, and we were stuck. We were waiting for a car accident. There was a car accident in front of us, and Mike Wanzer was a little frustrated. You ever felt like that before? Trying to get through traffic? Okay? I was a little frustrated. Can you identify with that? And Annabelle, with her childlike faith, just as I told you in the beginning, she reminded me. She says, Daddy, she goes, it's okay. She goes, God will take care of us. I said, I know, baby, but hold on. I'm trying to put the FM, like the modulator here. I'm trying to figure out when the traffic is going to be finished. And Annabelle says, Daddy, she touched me. Daddy, it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. And I stopped and she says, Dad, listen, do you remember that car wreck that we had in Canada where Mom flipped the van 3 times and we were flying through the air? And she goes, do you remember when we finally landed and we were hanging upside down and she didn't know what was going to happen, and everyone crawled out alive? She goes, Daddy, God has been faithful in our lives. And she goes, Daddy, do you remember that time where we were in a hurricane? And she says, we were, the wind was blowing everywhere and we didn't know if the roof was going to come off. And then we had a typhoon. She goes, Daddy, God will take care of us. Yeah, and then she says, Daddy, do you remember when there was a 7.2 earthquake in the Philippines? And we were sitting somewhere, we had to walk 4 miles to go home, and we handed out Bible tracts, and people were hysterical. She goes, do you remember when we told people they were okay? I mean, she's telling us, she's preaching, all right? She's just telling me, all right? And she says, Daddy, do you remember when all those things happened? She goes, do you think he can get us through this traffic? And I said, oh. Oh, man. I cried. I said, God, I'm sorry. I said, I love you. I praise you. And I thank you for who you are. And so that's the message this morning. God is saying, do you remember when I took care of your rent? God is saying, do you remember when I amended the relationship with your spouse after you had completely shattered it? He says, do you remember when your child was sitting up all night and that you didn't know if the fever was going to subside? You didn't know what was going to happen? He says, do you remember that time? He says, I will take care of you. He says, do you remember the time when you were searching for a job and I answered the specific prayer? He says, I will do that because I know a whole lot more about the situation than you do. So as we close and as we prepare for invitation, here's the question. What is that situation that's in your life this morning that you feel I just cannot make it through? What is it? Don't tell me. Talk to God about it. Cry out for help. Cry out with humility and then turn it to a cry of praise. Have the humility, have the mindset that I'm going to come give it to God and that I'm going to allow Him to work through me and share those pains and really finish His masterpiece in my life. And most importantly, if you're here this morning and you say, man, well, just like you, Mike Wanzer, I'm here. I'm searching for answers. I didn't have green mohawk and things like that, but my life's a mess. Jesus Christ is the answer. There's a whole room full of people here that if they could tell you everything about their life, all right, you realize that we're all people who are messed up that need Jesus Christ. It's a hospital for sinners. Okay? So we must cry out to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and cry out to Him this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I'm so thankful that, Lord, that you've given me three beautiful children that teach me how much you love me and teach me how simple my faith can be and teach me how much of a loving and caring God that you are. And so, God, this morning, as I've shared my heart, shared your word, Lord, and just poured out, Lord, the message this morning, God, I pray that as your Holy Spirit has worked, I pray that people would respond. Number one, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, they're searching for answers. They've been trying to find it in every possible place. Help them to stop and realize that the answer is Jesus Christ. Lord, He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again, and is alive today to help us be victorious. And God, again, if there's someone here that just has a need, that needs to cry out to you, help them to do that this morning. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.